Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live this week. And we'll first bring on our co-host. Hello, Daryl. How's it going?
Hello. Going great. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, good evening. And we have everybody on Skype tonight. We'll be using the Twisted Pair or old technology, the phone, for all of you. So things should sound pretty crisp tonight. Before we get started with our first guest, and we already have a caller, we'll put them on, and I need to get rid of one of my other cordless phones. it's just ringing in the background. This is what happens when you have multiple phones in the house. Before we get started, let's give everybody contact information. If you want to get a hold of us tonight live on the show, the number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And Daryl, you want to give them MSN?
We have acbradio.org. That's Main Menu, acbradio.org.
Okay, you're cutting out a little bit. It's Main Menu at acbradio.org. Okay. All right, we have quite a number of people joining us tonight. In the first hour, we'll be hearing from Jamal Mazrui. Recently, a number of months ago, I interviewed Jamal on the Marlena program. And we bring him on to Main Menu to talk all things programming and all things Jamal in reference to the tool sets that he has created. And we have quite a lot of information to get to. But most importantly, we have you, the caller, the participant, to be able to participate in tonight's show. So, first of all, let's warmly welcome to Main Menu Live this week, Jamal Mazrui. Hello, Jamal.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and hope things are going well for you. Let's find out who our caller is. They are gone. So that's fine. I'm going to leave the line closed for now, and we'll talk to Jamal a little bit before we open up the line, and then we'll get into callers. So when we talked to Jamal, obviously, the main focus is going to be on the many applications which Jamal has released, but I first wanted to talk to Jamal a little bit about programming from a blindness perspective. And there's, for those of you who are programming and have not gotten into the blindness programming arena in reference to the news groups and email lists that are available, there's quite a number of them, and Jamal is quite active on, it seems, all of them, which is fantastic. So I first wanted to ask you, Jamal, to talk to us a little bit about what you think the current state of programming is from a blindness perspective. Do you think that the current state of technology is where it needs to be in reference to either Visual Studio or other programming environments?
No, I don't think it is. I think that only in terms of competitive access to those environments so that a blind person can compete against sighted programmers and trying to get jobs and develop their... I do think there have been some recent advances, so I think the gap is less than it used to be. And I think that there's reason for hope. There's also sources of frustration.
Yeah, I bet. And we're getting quite a bit of breakup on the Skype side, Daryl. Are you noticing that on your side?
It's a little it's a little squirrely.
Yeah, normally it has not been that way. So we'll try this for a minute or two more, and if not, we may have to resort to moving things around a little bit tonight. Sorry, folks. Okay, and obviously it probably goes without saying, right, or at least be, that the greatest level of experience in reference to programming right now is probably with JAWS for Windows due to the extensive work that you've done, Jamal, on VisualStudio.net scripts. Would you agree?
Well, I appreciate the compliment. I do think that in collaboration with others, we have been able to gain access to Visual Studio, which, as folks are aware, is Microsoft's main programming environment. It's languages and is targeted toward the .NET. Microsoft, what it did right was a version of MSAA, Microsoft Active.
Daryl?
Yes.
Are we still having problems?
Yeah, we're still having some problems here. Daryl, do you have his number that you called? I'm going to call him on the phone and bring him in that way.
Okay. Yeah.
So why don't you do that? I'll go ahead and hang up for a moment. We'll call you right back.
Sure.
Yeah, and okay. we'll call you right back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You're actually coming through fine, Daryl. It's I think the gateway through the Skype out system that's creating the problem tonight.
Okay.
So yeah, you're sounding perfectly fine, and if you can just IM me that phone number, that would be great, and I'll call him, and we'll continue.
Oh wow, it's from him. That's interesting.
What happened?
There we go.
Let's see. I haven't gotten it. I have not gotten it from you yet. Let's see.
Oh, I just sent it in your MSN window.
Let's see. Sorry, everybody. Oh, great. And now I can't get into the...
We are currently experiencing...
Technical difficulties. Absolutely.
Difficulties.
And I may call you, too, on the... Daryl, why don't you hang up on the Skype side, give him a call, and then while we're doing that, let's see if I can... What a mess tonight. Let's see here.
Okay, I'm going to get off of Skype then, and I'll set us up on the phone.
Okay, fine. But I think we'll be fine once we get Mike and Anna on. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. While we're doing that, let's go ahead and hear from Jamie Pauls from Access Watch. And then we'll get everybody on the phone here. So stay tuned, everybody, and we'll be right back.
This week, AccessWatch contributor Blake submits a review for CCleaner version 1.0.520. Blake's computer is a home-built computer with a 1.8 GHz Pentium 4 processor with 1 GB of RAM. His operating system is Windows XP Pro, and his screen reader is JAWS for Windows 8.0. He gives this program a 5 rating, and here are his comments. CCleaner is a program for cleaning junk from your computer. After cleaning is complete, your hard drive will have more space for storing files. Best of all, CCleaner is lightning fast. In terms of accessibility, CCleaner earns top marks. CCleaner works flawlessly with the JAWS screen reader. For example, in the installation program, there are checkboxes to uncheck CCleaner options that you do not want. The ability to uncheck unwanted options is helpful because the user is given control over what icons CCleaner can add. You can download CCleaner for free from www.ccleaner.com. Thanks, Blake, for that review. Come visit us at www.accesswatch.info. And check out our blog at http://accesswatch.wordpress.com. Have a great week.
We're still waiting for Daryl and Jamal to join us. I believe we do not have them quite yet. Let's see here. We're waiting for Daryl to call. And again, we're sorry about that. Technology as it is tonight is not playing well with us. So we'll wait here for just a minute for Daryl to give us a call. I think that's Mr. Shandro. Hello, sir.
Yeah, let's get Jamal back. Hang on just a minute.
All right. Okay, we're waiting for Daryl to get Jamal back. And this week, there has been a release of Windows Live Messenger 8.5 beta. And for those of you who are Windows Live Messenger users, it's pretty safe to install that. You will notice that the status bar has moved. And the status bar is just below the history text within the client now. And that can be a little annoying if you are using your screen reader's mouse keys to be able to review the screen. You'll always see that status before you see the message text. Let's see if we have Daryl back. Hello, Daryl.
We do.
Okay, that's great. And we'll give you more tech news as we continue tonight. And I think this will sound much better to everybody. Hello, Jamal.
Hi.
There, that's much better. Oh, you know, when we have been using Skype, it's sounded very, very, very good. And tonight, of course, being the situation that it is, it's not playing nice. So, okay, so let's kind of go back and because you were really kind of breaking up there about the programming issues with. That being, using JAWS for Windows and the scripting environment that it has, and what that really allows for from, a programming perspective, access to the IDE and that type of thing.
Right. Well, Microsoft really did put in work with Visual Studio 2005 to try to ensure that they were doing almost everything they could do with a mouse. They did that a Microsoft almost every control in the environment, and so compared just out of the box compared to other programming IDEs, integrated development environment, Visual Studio 2005 is more accessible. However, I would say that it still comes up short in some areas, most particularly. From what I hear, I haven't done much programming in this area myself, but for people wanting to develop websites with what's called ASP.NET, the form designer there is quite difficult to operate with a screen reader. On the other hand, for developing Windows desktop applications, it's mostly accessible out of the box. The difference, I think, that the scripts make is between accessibility and usability. And it's hard to know kind of where Microsoft's responsibility ends or where Freedom Scientific responsibility ends or starts. Because if you can get to some information or the information you need, but the amount of steps required makes it so tedious or time-consuming that it really challenges whether it's practical to do or certainly whether you can do so in as productive a manner as other programmers who are cited, then it becomes a problem for you as a blind programmer. And here's a case in point. Just out of the box, if you're using the form designer, that's where you move controls around and try to place them on a form. There is information on the status line with Windows Forms where you can know the pixel coordinates of each control. For example, you're placing a text box on the form. You want to know the left and right, the left top coordinate, and you want to know the width and the height of that control. But a sighted person just moves the control around till it looks good and then clicks on a border and changes the size or drags it this way or that way. And it's a much more efficient process than if a blind person is having to continually check the status line and try to make calculations. Let's see, okay, if this is here, and then I'm going to put this other control over here, how many pixels do I have to add to it so that it's in an appropriate location? And so that's what I mean between the difference between accessibility and usability. And what the scripts try to do is to bridge that gap, to provide a lot more friendly information using the arrow keys so that you have a better idea where you're moving and sizing the controls. And there's some JAWS scripts that will, like, automatically move a control so that it's an appropriate number of pixels to the right of or below another control in accordance with user interface guidelines. And for the areas where the keyboard access is a little weak, the scripts try to make up for it.
Okay, great. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey, guys. This is Matt Campbell.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Of course, I'll be rejoining the program in another role later. But
yes, indeed.
Since you're talking with Jamal about programming and especially control layout, I thought I would point out that I noticed that Jamal is using the WX Widgets toolkit via WX Ruby in at least some of his programs like TextPal. I'm guessing that one of the reasons you do that is because with WX you can use sizers to lay out controls in something kind of like an HTML table where you don't have to do all the pixel calculations. Is that one of the things you find to be a major benefit of WX?
Yes. In the case of Ruby, there are not many choices for building accessible GUIs for Windows right now in terms of the bindings that are available. For example, you know, TK doesn't really produce accessible controls.
Yeah, GTK.
So there, my choices were relatively limited, but you're absolutely right that I take advantage of sizers, and in any programming language, I try to take advantage of layout managers as a way of getting around having to do really tedious arithmetic calculations.
Are there any layout managers for Windows Forms in the .NET environment?
There are. They were introduced in .NET 2.0, so Visual Studio or C# 2005 and the other languages for the .NET 2.0 framework. They weren't available before, but now there are some good ones, Table Layout Panel and Flow Layout Panel being the major ones, and then there's some properties like Anchor and Dock for each control and Auto Size. So, in fact, in the application I've developed in C# called Filder, I make great use of those. I can't think of any form that I created where I actually specify pixel coordinates. They're all done by means of these layout managers.
So then, assuming that you're not, say, working with other people who insist on Form Designer, you may be able to dodge, or you are able to dodge that entirely, even in the .NET environment.
That's correct. So originally my goal, actually, as I was learning C# was I assumed that what I needed to do was to be accessible, so that's why I became obsessed with trying to get the scripts as good as so that I could use the Windows Form Designer built in the Visual Studio, and I achieved some success with that, and of course it wasn't just me. Ken Perry actually got that part started. But then I learned more about the language and about these layout managers that could be used. And currently I've been doing all of my programming in a text editor because I find that it's more productive for me to just deal directly with the code using these layout managers than try to make what was originally designed as a sighted hand-eye coordination, mouse-oriented thing usable for me as a blind person.
That's
yeah,
it.
And I don't mean to detract from blind people who want to use Visual Studio or who have to because they're on a team with other programmers. That's one of the benefits of an IDE. It does have things that help you work in collaboration. But if somebody is just working on their own, I think often they're better off learning the language well enough that they can make use of these kinds of layout managers and be familiar enough with the language that they don't have to rely on an IDE to generate code for them, which is often bloated code with extraneous stuff that you don't really need. You can just hand code exactly what you need.
Are you finding, Jamal, also that the menu bars and everything can be done using those layout panels?
Well, a menu bar doesn't require layout to begin with.
No, but I'm talking about him using an editor to program those. I'm not sure if he's doing that or if he's using the menu editor.
Yeah, that's also done by hand coding.
So you're not using the menu editor at all. Okay.
No.
Okay, good.
No, file does actually.
I can tell you, even as a partially sighted user with enough sight to read the screen, I hate laying out a native Win32 dialog.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Hey, Matt, why we have you here, Matt? You want to go ahead and ask him your TextPal question?
Yeah. Jamal, to what extent does TextPal use JAWS scripting, and how much of it is just using the JSW API? I mean, does it use any JAWS
scripting? By the way, Matt, first time I've talked to you, and I've been a fan of yours from a distance, so I'm glad to meet you by phone. The intent of TextPal is to be able to work with both JAWS and WindowEyes, and I really tried actually to support HAL, but it doesn't have as flexible an API without having to resort to, well, for languages besides C programmers, let me put it that way. If TextPal was written in C, I think I could do everything that I'm doing with the JAWS or WindowEyes APIs with HAL as well, but I have not found a way to do that yet with Ruby. So
then you'll be happy to hear that System Access has a DLL available similar to the JSW API.dll, which exports a few functions for detecting whether System Access is running. And then
try to add
text
that support
to System Access to be spoken.
Yes, in fact, this week we released the ACB Radio Tuner version 6.6, and with Saratech's assistance, we've added support for System Access in that version. So, yeah, that's absolutely, and it works great.
So, in answer to your question, I think of the JAWS scripts as more fine-tuning the speech interface, and that's how I try to describe them, for things that I wasn't able to do directly in text.
And eventually we'll be doing scripting too, but...
Okay.
So I just wanted to say publicly that...
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to...
But actually, let me just say that there's two parts that are somewhat separable. One is the extra speech messages that an application like TextPal or FileDAR gives. So, for example, if you do a find command, it automatically reads you the matching line of text. Or if you want to check what the contents of the clipboard are, there's a hotkey that will say what's currently on the clipboard. And basically what I have is just this generic function that I can pass a string of text to, and it checks to see if JAWS or WindowEyes is running, and then uses the appropriate API to just say that string of text. So I call those enhanced speech messages, and most of those commands are off the query menu. But then that would work without installing any JAWS scripts, because as long as you have JAWS or WindowEyes running, that works without
extra configuration files. Then, in addition, there's another layer that I have with JAWS right now, where I've found some ways that I can fine-tune the speech even more by including a set of JAWS scripts. And I've tried to encourage WindowEyes users to send me, you know, a set file if they think of ways that the speech can be made even better with a set file. But so far, I don't have one yet, and I don't know WindowEyes set file development well enough that I've been able to include that myself.
All right. So at some point, then since the source code for TextPal is right there, I guess I could just implement the system access version of that function myself.
Yeah, you could and send it to Jamal.
Yeah, you'd be welcome to I kind of coined this phrase that I call layout by code.
Yes,
which
we're headed there next.
Intended as an alternative way of designing dialogues through code, but through convenience functions that made it that did as much as possible in an intelligent, automatic manner for you, instead of using a visually oriented form designer. So anyway, a lot of my libraries, even for functions that aren't specifically related to layout, I've just kind of used this LBC abbreviation for them. So anyway, the main function you would want to look for in TextPal is LBC_say.
Okay.
And you'll see in there it branches off to either calling the JAWS API or the Windows API, or right now, if it doesn't find either, it will use the default SAPI engine.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So no promises regarding timeline, but you know, TextPal users might be seeing support for system access sometime.
Hey, very cool.
Okay, Matt, we'll see you in an hour.
Yeah, but my main point was to bring up the topic of layout managers as an alternative to form designers.
I'd like to
ask you, Jamal, a question about these layout managers in the context of a sort of a team programming environment where everyone else is using a form designer. And unfortunately, I'm not certainly a hardcore programmer, but for what it's worth, wouldn't it still be possible to do this hand coding and import and export things?
Can you elaborate?
Would it be possible to get to if you're assigned a certain module or certain area of a project, wouldn't it be possible to do that using hand coding and sort of add that material to the overall package?
If you're working on a team project,
right?
I think it would. The problem is just the IDE tends to generate code with certain patterns, like certain naming conventions and conventions it uses for comments, and what parts of the code that you're allowed to touch and what parts you're like sternly warned do not touch this because the IDE might regenerate it next time.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, if you really took the time to learn to mimic that, I think it would work, but it would be challenging because if you didn't figure out exactly what the pattern was, you might contribute a piece of code and then the IDE might just eat it up because it thought it was a part that it could deal with.
Well, the thing, too, is that, you know, I mean, everyone would have to agree on some sort of a paradigm in reference to what type of layout and controls would be used, you know, in a uniform way. But, you know, with object-oriented forms, I mean, you could pretty much get away with that. I think you could do it. It would just, you know, the project would have to agree that would be something that everyone would conform to.
And it's worth saying that not all programming teams subscribe to the idea that an IDE is the best way to go. I've read documents by developers who say, you know, no, we don't like the auto generation that's done and the kind of not being as in touch with what your code is actually doing. So we're just going to develop our own conventions for how to organize code, and we actually prefer people to hand code it.
Exactly.
So it's not necessarily the case that sighted teams of programmers will use the IDE. It's just that is a common thing.
Indeed. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey, Jeff. Joe here, first-time caller. I very seldom call, but I listen. I wanted to ask Jamal. Jamal, I like your text pal, but it won't open some Adobe files, and I have a book that requires a password. Are you going to... Because I wish you... I hope you can get that corrected, because it's a lot easier than Adobe, you know, Adobe Reader, Adobe... Like, I've got a 600-page book, and a lot of it is graphic, but there's a lot of text. Sometimes it won't open, you know, and I really wish it would because I like the way it opens.
Okay, we'll let you listen to that on the air, okay, Joe?
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Yeah, this brings up the whole issue of DRM, doesn't it, Jamal?
It does. Well, I'm actually, for TextPal, I don't do the conversion myself. It's actually extremely complex to analyze a PDF image, essentially, and determine where the characters are and produce a coherent reading order. So, in fact, TextPal uses this utility called GetText that behind the scenes, which I got permission to use from another author, and it actually converts various formats, HTML, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and the thing I really liked about it is it's just so fast. So the general idea is it's a way to quickly open various formats in the text editor and get readable text, but not very well formatted text necessarily. And unfortunately, it also doesn't deal with some of the more challenging PDFs, or certainly ones with a password. I'm certainly open to the idea of if I found a way that I could, you know, let the user enter a password to do that. I just need to clarify that my coding isn't actually converting that PDF to text. TextPal is behind the scenes calling this other utility, and I'm kind of limited as to what it's able to do.
Sure. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, everybody. It's Beth from Newport News, Virginia.
I knew you'd be calling in, Beth. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Doing great.
Great. I'm glad the technology gremlins got taken care of.
Yeah, us too.
And yeah, really. that was something else. Skype usually works much better than that, at least from what I've heard. I don't have it, but...
Yeah, you're on Skype right now, actually. So as you can tell, it's a very picky little beast. It all depends on...
Yeah,
exactly.
I have one quick question for you, Jeff, and then I'll ask my questions for Jamal.
Okay.
Sometimes when I call in, I get a message. I know it's an answering machine. It's a British voice, and it says, "We're unavailable. Please call back. Leave a message." Should I leave a message?
What's going on is apparently the latest version of Skype has some issues in reference to when calls are hung up on. In other words, when you complete a call, it tends to crash. And so as you experienced tonight, I was restarting Skype, and because at the time that Skype is not on, the way that the Skype in number works is that if your Skype is not present, then the wonderful British woman will come on and say that I'm not currently available. But that was really horrible. Sorry. But so that's why that's happening. And for those that may have experienced that tonight, I do sincerely apologize.
I've had it before too, and
yeah.
I'm just wondering, should I leave a message?
You can leave a message. Unfortunately, during the show when it's live, I can't pick it up. But I can get it later. So your best bet, if you're listening live to the show, is to call back.
Okay, will do. Now, to my questions for Jamal.
Okay.
First of all, Jamal, could you please tell us what TextPal is? And the second thing is, how easy. I am not a programmer. I've never programmed anything. I have trouble programming things like scanners, but
some of us have that technology problem too.
Yeah, really. But it fascinates me. And if you could please, Jamal, tell us how easy is Python? Was it Mark from Icon?
Yes, and also Larry talked about it.
Oh, Larry, yes.
Uh-huh.
And I know that they program in Python, and if I do decide to get hooked up with the Icon and the Braille Plus, it would be really cool to be able to get some applications going on there. So I just wondered, Jamal, if you could tell us how easy it is for someone who is a non-programmer to learn Python, and also tell us about TextPal. And thank you very much, everybody.
Okay,
I'll listen online.
We're going to review all the applications, too, but that's a good transition. Go ahead, Daryl.
And a follow-up question in relation to Beth's is, if someone has a decent amount of knowledge of their sister technology and computer technology, but they want to get into programming, what would be the best language to start with, and where could they get good accessible training materials for that?
Why don't we start with Daryl's question first, and then we'll lead into the various applications. And Daryl, we're going to jump down to the utilities since we're kind of late into the hour.
Okay.
We'll jump down to the utility section of the outline and go from there. But yeah, let's talk about that, Jamal, because you've put together quite a number of technology resources and documentation sets that people can download. And everyone, we'll include all of these links. Jamal, we put them all together already. We have them, and we'll put them up on the On Demand Archive page. So once the On Demand Archives are uploaded tonight, you will be able to go there and find an abundant amount of resources on where to download all of Jamal's tools as well as all the documentation. So take it away, Jamal.
So which did you want me to address first?
Well, let's talk about the documentation and what programming language would you think, you know, that this is obviously something that is everyone has opinions on. You know, if someone were to just begin to start programming, you know, from a blindness perspective, what language would you recommend, and what documentation have you put together in reference to aiding people in that?
Or what
areas
could you recommend? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with regard to documentation, I've been so obsessed with programming for years now that I've actually collected documentation on many languages, and the best. Somebody who's collaborated with me in helping me get them posted, because I'm a lot better at collecting them than I have been at putting up a web page that people could easily find. He goes by the name Inthane, and his website is grabbag.alacorncomputer.com. Jeff will have the specific link. But it includes a page with collections of documentation and .zip files for Python, Ruby, Visual Basic, C Sharp, Perl, Autoit, the JAWS scripting language, VBScript, and there are probably others. In terms of what I would recommend, I would say the following two, if I had to pick. One would be Python, and the other would be C Sharp. I think Python is an excellent language, easier to learn than C Sharp, because it's more of a what's called a scripting language, but I prefer the term dynamic language. It's more forgiving in that you don't have to, for every variable, specify the type in advance, whether it's a string, an integer, or what kind of numeric type, etc. It does a lot of inferring as to how you use the variable, what type it is. And when you're getting started, that can really help you be more productive. It also doesn't have all of the punctuation marks that the C language has, so it's cleaner to read, and you're less likely to make a mistake that you forgot to put a semicolon at the end of a line, which you have to do at the end of every C-sharp statement. The thing that makes Python challenging to blind people is that it does require indentation, and it's one of the few languages that does these days. For almost every other current language, it's recommended that you indent when you have, an if block. The statements within the if condition, it's recommended that they be indented 4 spaces or 2 tabs, you know, that can vary. But generally, it really helps sighted people understand the logical organization of code if they can see these levels of indentation. Frankly, I don't find it to be a value as a blind person. I hear that some blind people do, especially Braille users. Although I know Braille and I fully support Braille literacy, I became blind late enough in life, in my late teens, that unfortunately, I try as I might, I never became an efficient Braille reader. So for me, I find speech to be the productive way to program, and with speech, I don't find the indentation helps me. And in fact, having to worry about what lines are indented is a drag on my time, not a help. But as I was saying, the difference with Python is you actually have to. It's not a stylistic option as it is with other languages. The code will not run unless it's properly indented. So what I think is the case is that for Braille users, that's less problematic because the indentation can help and they can more quickly ascertain with their fingers what lines are indented and what needs to be shoved to the right or pulled back to the left towards the margin. For speech users, it involves more work. I have included features in TextPal to try to make it easier to do things with indentation. If you can get over that indentation issue, which I think you can, it's just that it takes more work, Python is just so broadly used and so well supported on various operating systems, Unix-oriented ones as well as Windows. It's used for scripting. I mean, the Orca screen reader, the Linux screen reader under Linux or other forms of Unix are both written in Python. Non-visual desktop access under Windows is written in Python. I didn't know it, but you've just informed me that this icon apparently uses Python. So it actually puts you in good stead from the standpoint of being able to, if you're ever doing things with screen reader development or developing scripts for screen readers, these days Python is one of the best languages to learn. But it's also extremely well documented, and you know, I do have a Python documentation collection, but also if you just go to python.org, they have lots of documentation there. So for those reasons, I think Python is a good language. I think C# is a good language because Microsoft still has 90% of the desktop market with Windows. Maybe Linux has been gaining recently, but still Microsoft is dominant. And so that means there are going to be more jobs, more people using Windows than other platforms in the foreseeable future, especially for desktop programming as opposed to, like, say, programming a web server. And C# is Microsoft's language that was specifically designed for what's called the .NET framework, which is Microsoft's platform, if you like. It's how Microsoft, Windows Vista is mainly based on the .NET framework. And so the C# language, just it's specifically tailored for developing programs, not only under Windows, but the .NET framework, even by its name, was meant to be, to develop web-related programs as well as desktop programs. And from what I understand, the market right now, you're most likely to get a job as a programmer programming in either C-sharp or Java. So in terms of employment as a blind person, those are the two best languages. And in terms of the accessibility of the environment, right now C-sharp is a more accessible environment than Java. Not that you can't do some good work in Java, but between the two, you're more likely to be able to work in an accessible environment with C-sharp, because Microsoft has built more accessibility into the .NET framework.
It's interesting to see where Visual Basic has fallen into .NET, and you know, Visual Basic has really become more of a it's shifting all the time. In fact, every version seems to add more and more to it, and it looks like it's they're continuing to support it. So for those of you who have programmed in VB6 or COM or you know using Visual Basic, then VB.NET would definitely be a choice that would fit well into the framework of things too. But Jamal is right in that if you're just starting out, I would definitely start with C-sharp. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in, and then we'd like to get in and talk a little bit about the applications, Jamal. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, thanks, Jeff. It's Don Barrett.
Hey, Mr. Barrett.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Jamal. Hey, Joe. Okay. I just wanted to tell Joe and any other interested folks out there, there's a program called Advanced PDF Password Recovery, which helps you find and decrypt PDF files. I mean, it's a legal piece of software. It's not anything that's illegal or anything. If people want to email me, I can tell you, you know, the web address. I need to find it at work tomorrow, but I'll be glad to, share the information with anybody. I've used it quite a bit.
Don, why don't you just email that to me, and we'll get it up on the Main Menu blog tomorrow.
Terrific.
Hey,
what an idea.
Hey, Don, wasn't there a controversy about that guy, that Russian guy who created that thing? Was that ever settled?
I think initially he was... had some prison time, but then charges were dropped.
Oh.
And the software is still available, and it's been for years and years.
Interesting.
For years and years with great success.
Interesting. Okay.
And,
get me the info. Is it free, Don? I missed that.
I think the standard version is $30, which is what I is. Now, it won't decrypt...
the DRM version.
Microsoft books that are really... coded separately with all kinds of special encryption. This is really just for passwords, but that most PDF documents with passwords, this will make it easier. And of course, you want it for personal use only. That goes thing, but I'll say it anyway. And I'll send you the.
Okay, it looks like
all
we.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds great, Don. We're kind of losing you into the Skype
gotcha.
Arena. Skype is not playing.
All right, well,
Skype is not playing.
I'll hang up.
Sir.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right, Don. Take care.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of the Main Menu blog, we haven't really advertised it before. That's at mainmenu.acbradio.org.
Okay, great, and it's actually available as well on the on-demand archive page for Main
yep.
Menu, and it appears below. So that's right. Okay, Jamal, let's run through the gamut, and we'll let you do the order if you want. But the order, of course, would be well, not order, but the items that we probably want to talk about are the main three, right? PDF to TXT, TextPal, and FileDir, and if we have time, HomerKit and JAWS scripting exchange and that kind of thing. So you got too much to talk to in an hour, Jamal.
I do want to just briefly first say I agree with Jeff. I was trying to pick a couple of languages in response to the question, so I picked C-sharp and Python. But Visual Basic, you can do essentially everything you can do with C-sharp. If you're coming from a Visual Basic 6 background, continue with Visual Basic in the .NET environment. It's just if you were starting a new language, I might go for C sharp. Let's see, the programs that I've developed can kind of be divided into the category of tools that are more for developers and then ones that are more for end users. And the tools that are for developers, I've kind of used as building blocks for my other applications. So JavaScript Exchange was something that made it easier to package JavaScripts and make it easy for people to install them. And I use that for any JavaScripts that I distribute. Another tool was called Iniform that tried to make it easy to develop Windows dialogues by specifying it just in an .ini file that would make all kinds of calculations for you when the program processed the .ini file. Subsequently, I did a library in Autowit called Layout by Code. And then I used this Layout by Code library for a database program I developed called DB Dialog. And then in the .NET environment, I did a version of Layout by Code in C Sharp, and I used that within Filder, which is a file and directory manager. It's an alternative to Windows Explorer. In TextPal, I did a mini version of Layout by Code in the Ruby language, which is incorporated into TextPal, which is a text editor and programming editor. And then, as Jeff mentioned, PDF to TXT is focused on converting PDF files to text, and it can convert a batch of them at once. Like, you can put all PDFs in a directory and press a button and it'll convert them all for you. Or you can direct it to a page on the internet that has a bunch of PDF links and it'll convert them all and put the resulting text files in a directory for you on your hard drive. HomerKit is a collection of JavaScripts that try to provide a consistent user interface for a number of applications. In a sense, what I tried to do is take a lot of the user interface ideas I had developed with TextPal and re-implement them just through JavaScripts applied to Notepad, WordPad, another editor called NoteTab, which has a free version called NoteTab Lite. And then it occurred to me that I could also extend those to other programs such as Internet Explorer, where some of the editing commands wouldn't apply because it's a read-only mode. But a lot of the other things would apply, things that help you navigate more easily or select text more easily. For example, a key that lets you start a selection, and then you can move to the endpoint and press another key to complete the selection, which is just a lot easier, I find, and users tell me they love the feature, than having to hold down the shift key and keep pressing arrow keys till you get to the endpoint you want, and your screen reader doesn't always read very clearly as you have this shift key held down. Or if what you're looking for might be screens ahead, it can be really tedious finding it, whereas this way you just mark the beginning. It doesn't matter how you get to the endpoint. You could do a find command to get to the endpoint. You could read by paragraph, and then when you find the endpoint, you press another key and it selects all the text in between. For anybody who remembers the old WordPerfect for DOS, it works a bit similar to that capability. So that's possible in Internet Explorer, that it works, this, what I call the Homer interface, works in Microsoft Outlook and in Outlook Express. And HomerKit is actually kind of two things. One is it's these script sets for these various applications, but it's also a library of JavaScripts that are used as components for building the script sets, which people can use in their own applications that to other applications. They can use these building block functions. A lot of them are functions that really exploit MSAA or the Windows API in ways of getting information or manipulating controls that aren't possible through the regular JavaScript scripting language.
I sent an email to you about another text editor called EM Editor, and it has this might be something you might be interested in extending with the Homer Kit library, because it's fully extendable. In fact, it's pretty amazing. In fact, it already has text selection just by pressing F8 and then moving around the screen, built into the editor itself, and it's pretty darn good, and it has a scripting language. It uses VBScript internally, so you can write scripts in it, and you can have complete access to its entire object model. So it's
wow.
Yeah, it's we're going to do a segment on that on Main Menu coming up in the latter part of the year. We're going to be taking a little bit of a break here coming up pretty soon for Main Menu for the summer, and then we'll be back. But we're gonna definitely do an entire our show on EM Editor, which is really, I think, probably one of the best text editors right now from an accessibility standpoint that there is, and it's so extendable, it's just crazy.
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, it's emeditor.com if you're interested in taking a look at that. So, yeah, okay. Wow, and now from a programming standpoint, you're probably using for example, with Outlook, are you using Outlook's object model to gain access to that text, or how are you doing that?
For a few things, I'm using the object model, but primarily they're functions that take advantage of the fact that Outlook uses a rich edit control, and you can really do a lot when a program is based on a rich edit control. There's just all kinds of ways you can manipulate
text. Have you played with Office 2007? I don't know if they're still because they're using now Word as their editor within Outlook now.
I have not tried that.
Yeah,
have you?
Yeah, it's kind of off topic a little bit, but I find Outlook 2007 pretty annoying. But I find the whole Office 2007 experience frustrating, and I think the main reason is because it's one of these things where you teach somebody how to do things. For example, all of your commands on menu bars and everything are now a lot of them are significantly different. It's not such an issue that it's painful. It's just if you're not used to it, it takes a little bit of time. And since we have not standardized to it at the office, I played with it for a couple of weeks, and I think it really requires a little more than a couple of weeks to get used to it.
Are there advantages for blind users with it, or?
Well, I mean, one of the advantages, of course, is that since you're using Word as your Outlook editor, I mean, you're forced to. Then you have access to the entire DOM, and so, for example, using JAWS or Window Eyes, you'd have the full access of what those scripts can do with it inside of Word as you're editing, and so, you have those full capabilities. I find it kind of frustrating when utilizing HTML messages, because of course they come into Word; they're not presented in a virtual a buffer anymore.
Okay.
Things like that, but again, these are things that are more annoyances. They're not showstoppers in any way, shape, or form. But I do think, at least for me, it's going to take more than a week or two to get used to it. When you've been used to something for 5-10 years, I used to work for Microsoft, so I've been using Office for 13 years or. Some outrageous amount of time like that. So, when you get used to something like that, but I hear this from sighted people too. you know, that they find it very frustrating. But once they get used to it, they like it. So it's one of those things where if you're going to do it, you bite the bullet and you stay, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you know, you can go back, because you will. At least I found it to be the case. So, believe me, though, the university will be moving to 2007 eventually, and then we'll just all swallow hard and move on.
Now, is that built on the NET framework or not?
I don't think so. I think that there are underlying pieces that might be, but no, I think there's too much code there for them to get all of that converted to .NET. For now, you know, the ribbon maybe, you know, the new UI for menus and toolbars and things, that may be written in .NET. I'm not too sure, but and if it is written in .NET, they hit it pretty well, because I don't think they're using .NET controls, for example.
Okay.
You know, it's pretty obvious when you use applications that have .NET controls that they're different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, now speaking of that, going back. By the way, Gerald, do we have any questions on the message?
We do. I was just trying to figure out how to work them in here.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
We have a question from Kai, who asks, "What are you going to do next, Jamal? What kind of new application are you going to tackle?" Next, in addition to maintaining your existing versions?
Well, I want to do a more sophisticated general-purpose database manager than the DB Dialog program I developed. I haven't quite decided what language to do it under, though I'm leaning towards C# and taking advantage of this API called ado.net. Because my motivation is that for the most part it's hard to find accessible database programs under Windows. It's one of the more common questions I see on lists. Yeah, Microsoft Access is somewhat accessible, but it can also be quite challenging. And not easy for the average user, not efficient to use. So that probably something in that area. If people have suggestions on what they think are real unmet needs, do let me know, because that could be a source of inspiration.
Yeah, well, you've already put out so much, and all of these could be you know, commercial level applications. I mean, the quality of them is so good that, you know, you really could, you know, put them out there as definitely commercial applications, and that's pretty good stuff. Any more questions, Gerald?
Yes, we have one more from Steve in North Texas. Let's see here. Okay, so he wants to know is it possible on the with the .NET framework and something like C# to program applications for Windows Mobile? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, it is. The .NET framework.
Would that be C#?
You can do C#. My guess is you could also do Visual Basic. The thing about the .NET framework is it's generally intended to be, they call it language agnostic. So various languages can work on it as long as they conform to certain specifications. And it would more depend on what the .NET infrastructure is that's made available for the mobile platform. I know there is a version of .NET, because whenever I go to to read documentation on the Microsoft website, it will say whether like a certain function is available on Windows Mobile as okay. opposed to like a desktop version of Windows. And what I've observed is certainly the more common classes, methods, this is all object-oriented, so it uses words like classes, methods, etc., tend to be, but there are also, you know, ones that are only available on the desktop. But, you know, my guess is that they've certainly tried to include as much as you need to really produce applications on mobile platforms, and I know Microsoft is, you know, trying to compete with Java and other languages that have infrastructure already available for portable devices. So the short answer to your question is yes. I do believe it's quite possible to do, especially with, is it called Windows Mobile 5? What's the latest one?
It's
Windows Mobile 6 is
6, is it?
Yep.
It's out now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and Jamal, we're nearing wrapping stuff up here, but I wanted to ask you, in your playing around with .NET, obviously there's all kinds of new .NET controls and that type of thing. How have you found, you know, the main screen readers playing with the .NET controls in reference to them being, you know, accessible, that being with JAWS and with WindowEyes?
Well, my primary experience is with JAWS, although I do have a current WindowEyes SMA as well. My sense is that WindowEyes has been better at keeping up with the .NET controls and compatibility with them than JAWS has. I understand that there have been some recent improvements in JAWS 8. It has been a source of frustration to users because the .NET framework has been around since 2001, and so the screen reader companies have evidently considered it, you know, lower in priority. You know, and to some extent, they have to do what the market demands. So maybe there wasn't as much demand for access to them because .NET framework applications weren't as widely deployed. I think that there's no reason why .NET controls cannot be made as accessible as traditional Win32 controls, because Microsoft very carefully did incorporate MSAA into almost every control that it developed. And under the new controls that are available under Vista, it has also been using its successor API to MSAA called User Interface Automation, or UIA. Now, the screen readers are not completely up to speed there. My understanding is that System Access and WindowEyes are further ahead than JAWS at this time, but I think the capability will be there for them to take advantage of the API. So part of this is a matter of users letting companies know that, you know, they need access to this stuff, because more and more of these are going to become what is on the desktop when you go to work somewhere, and you don't have a choice. You just like we can't, as much as we might have loved to use DOS programs in the past, they won't, for the most part, run on our computers anymore. And if we want to work with the same software that other people are using, you know, that's not an option.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's definitely the case. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Jeff, I had to call back. May I ask another question before he leaves? Because I'm very impressed with Jamal. It's Joe from Boston. May I ask another question?
Yeah, if you can make it quick, Joe.
Sure, because I really enjoy this. He's very good. Jamal, what is your take on the bickering and the fighting between these two screen readers? JAWS people have a lot of problems. I heard they were Microsoft offered to help them with their SMA, and they wouldn't. And I've heard bad and good. I know I have a lot of problems with JAWS and Windows and getting stuff for blind people so they can do their own Windows. And we have to get some sort of standardization so that it works, right? And the WindowEyes is a little better, but there's still a lot of problems. What is your take as a programmer? We have to get something settled here so the blind will never go through what a couple of us went through. I know I could spend a lot of money that I didn't have and a lot of bad and some good experiences. But I wanted to bring this up because you're very bright, and I think this would help a lot of the blind people. And, Jeff, thanks for being gracious, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Okay, Joel, go ahead.
I'll
let you answer that as much as I mean.
Sensitive territory, so I want to.
Yeah, be careful.
Make sure. And could you be as specific as possible with the question?
Well, I think what he's. Let me try to rephrase the question by saying that I. What do you think can be done in the area of working on standards? For the entire AT industry from a programming perspective to sort of get everybody as much as possible on the same page? Or do you think that Microsoft's path is the right one, that being, UA automation, and that type of thing? What do you think the current landscape is, or do you think that it could be improved in some way?
Okay. I think that the consumer organizations, NFD and ACB, as well as other groups, should have been and still can and should be more vigilant in pressing companies like Microsoft and Sun and Apple to work together to develop more consistent standards. I think what happened was there was a lot of advocacy about a decade ago when blind people were losing jobs when Windows was first coming on the scene, and Microsoft got the message, and Microsoft did put a lot of work into, like, Windows 95. But then over time, the effort declined. I know they still have a lot of people on staff, and I'm not meaning to disrespect any of what they do. But my impression is that the amount of attention that was being given to making sure that Microsoft applications included accessibility built from the ground up has declined. From the late 90s, and unfortunately, I think consumer organizations just kind of thought the problem was solved after they did put a lot of work into advocacy, but then they kind of turned to other issues because companies like Microsoft issued these policy statements saying that we get the message from now on, we're going to every team, whether it's Microsoft Office or whatever, the Windows teams, etc., they're all going to be going over accessibility checklists in every new version they develop. I think that stopped happening. Certainly there's been some progress. I don't mean to say that there has been none, but I think the effort has declined. And in terms of, but still, Microsoft, to its credit, has done, more than most companies. I do fault UIA, though, in that I think originally Microsoft said it was going to work in a more collaborative way with other companies in developing a cross-platform accessibility API. But then it essentially made its API work only under Windows, and didn't work in a really cross-industry way. As the caller indicated, I do think we'd be better off if these companies could work more collaboratively. for example, using a model like the W3C and developing accessible HTML standards, where you have companies and consumer groups all working together and going through drafts and agreeing on standards, and then anybody knows exactly what is needed. Of course, it doesn't always happen, but they pretty much know what's needed to develop accessible web pages, and all kinds of companies can come up with tools for testing accessibility and generating accessible web pages. There's no equivalent in the software field right now. Microsoft has its API for Windows. Under the Unix-type systems, they have another API. Apple has gone its own way with VoiceOver, and none of them are consistent. And I think we're worse off because of that. And it is indeed frustrating.
Well, it's only going to get worse as we move more toward dynamic web applications with Ajax and stuff like that. And I know IBM and a number of other players are working on some standards on that. But it's really going to be important that everyone come to the table in reference to that technology for sure, to make sure that we get something that's going to work for everybody, because I really think that's going to, it could revolutionize what we use in the next 5 to 10 years. That's for sure. So,
yes.
Absolutely.
And one of the dynamics I see happening is the companies like Freedom Scientific and GW Micro, maybe Saratech, I'm less familiar with them, but I would guess they kind of have to depend on a company like Microsoft to gain information about how they can make their screen readers work well with those APIs.
Yep.
And so they're kind of in a dependent position, so they don't want to come out and be publicly critical if they think that, things aren't being done that they think should be done. And they're also under these non-disclosure agreements because they're being given inside information about the development of the operating system. So they have to sign these agreements that they can't talk about. So we as consumers don't really know what's going on. I've tried hard as somebody who hasn't been signing any NDAs to know, has Microsoft really been giving the assistive technology companies what they need to know? Has it really been listening to them and putting into their APIs what the screen readers need to provide really good access? And it's very hard to get an answer because the companies are under an NDA and they also kind of are dependent, so they don't want to irritate Microsoft by saying something negative about them. And I'm using Microsoft as an example. The same would apply for other companies. And so it's a difficult position we're in as consumers, and the best I can say is I think the organized consumer groups have the best chance of using their leverage to put pressure.
Yeah, I really...
And to never assume, I think we've just learned the lesson that we can just never let up, because this is such a visual world that there's always this another new visual paradigm that's coming along about, Windows Vista has all kinds of new nifty visual elements to it that pose challenges to accessibility. So even if we thought we had the last visual paradigm solved in terms of our accessibility, there'll be another one coming along, so we really have to be vigilant.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jamal, we really want to thank you for coming on tonight and talking to us all about all things that you're, what you've been up to. Daryl, do we have any last minute questions from the MSN side?
Just a second. No, I think it's covered.
Okay.
I think we're all set.
Okay, good. And, Jamal, we'll have all of the links up on the On Demand Archives page for everything, and And I actually pulled them from the grab bag page. So we'll put all that up there. And again, we really want to thank you for coming on tonight, and we'll have to have you back. And one of my goals is to get an entire panel together to really explore this whole issue of programming from a blindness perspective, and really explore it real deep and find out, okay, you know what are people using, how effective is it, and you know, really get kind of techie even more than we've gotten tonight. So that's
sounds
down,
good.
Down
well,
the
thanks
road.
For having me.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you for coming on, Jamal.
And we'll be in touch with you, Jamal.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks, Jamal.
Bye-bye.
All right, Daryl. Let's see. I don't see Matt online. Nor do
I think we're supposed to try them with Skype, weren't we?
Yeah, but I don't see either one of them on. So,
no, Matt Campbell is online.
He is. I show him as offline on my.
Well, that's interesting. Shall I try to put us together here?
Sure, that would be fine, and then we'll hang up here on the phone, and I'll let you create a conference, and we'll get started.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, Daryl is disappearing from the phone, and we already have the phone line forwarded to handle this situation for those of you that wish to call in. The new version of Replayer, version Replayer, Real One, the Real Player, is out in beta, version 11. I have yet to play with it. Apparently, it has an entirely new user interface, and so I'm sort of interested to find out exactly how accessible that's going to be, and we'll give you a heads up as to what we find out in the coming weeks on that front. It should be rather interesting to see what that's going to look like. Those of you using Messenger Plus for Windows Live Messenger, a newer version is now available, mainly as basically a bug fix release, and is still quite accessible. You can find that at www.msgpluslive.net, www.msgpluslive.net. We'll be back right after this. We're going to play a promo here, and then we'll should have Mike and Matt on from Saratech Corporation to talk about an exciting new product that they're announcing this week. We'll be back right after this.
It is my fervent belief that blind persons, regardless of race, creed, color, or party affiliation, should have the same information concerning United States currency as their sighted brethren.
Now, if you think this is a great idea, thanks to the American Council of the Blind, there is something you can do. You'll find a screen reader-friendly site and an online petition waiting for you at www.moneyforall.info.
That's www.money4all.info.
Come be a part of history with the American Council of the Blind. www.moneyforall.info.
You're listening to Main Menu Live on ACB Radio Mainstream.
That's right. And just one second here, everybody. We'll be back with all of you in just a minute. We need to get Skype going.
M-A-I-M-M-E-N-U.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Jeff. Jeff. I can finally see you on... Okay.
Okay, yes. And I will try to get...
I'm going to invite Mike.
Okay, I don't see Mike on. Sorry, everybody. We're having Skype gremlins. And,
Well, no. I'm going to invite Daryl.
Let's see. Daryl may be on the phone. Let's find out here. Dun, 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 dun. Technology.
Okay, so now I'm hosting the conference.
Okay.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
I can't get Daryl.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Okay, can you get Mike?
He's invisible. Now, I just hung up on Daryl.
All right, well, we can just go with us two if we want to do that.
Hold on. I'm IMing with Mike.
Sorry, everybody. We are generally much more organized than this. Technology has not been our friend this week.
But it will be.
Yeah.
For this last... Okay, I'm inviting Mike now, so we will at least have...
Well, here I am.
There you are. All right. Well, welcome to Main Menu, Mike, and...
Or do we need Daryl?
Well, we can try, but if we don't get him, we'll just move on.
Let me try Daryl one more time.
Okay. Welcome to Main Menu, Mike, and we're sorry for all the technical gremlins.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message.
Just get him on the phone.
Well, I can do that.
Just bring him in on the phone.
Let me do that. And why don't we go ahead and get started, Mike? Because we're kind of losing time here. And unfortunately, this means that we probably will not be able to take too many calls on this. But there's a lot to cover in the next 15 to 20 minutes anyway. So let's.
25.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get started. Hello, Daryl.
Yep.
Okay. We got you on the phone. We have Mike and Matt on Skype. And the world is a happy place, so let's go on here.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having us, Jeff. The Serotech has been a company that's been dedicated to accessibility anywhere. And one of the biggest things that people are seeing right now when it comes to mainstream technology is something called the Web 2.0. You alluded to it in the last segment a little bit about Ajax and kind of the centralized application for the application service providers. Really, at Serotech, we really like that kind of technology, and as you may know, we support Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google's versions of Ajax, and we're hoping, just like you are, that there'll be a standard at some point. But in the interim, of course, we are supporting that. In the spirit of Web 2.0, we would like to introduce what we call System Access to Go. And as you have seen, Jeff, System Access to Go is quite an amazing product that Matt is about to demonstrate at this time. So why don't you demonstrate that, Matt, and then we'll continue on with, as Matt calls it, the spiel.
Okay. Now what I'm going to do, I don't have any access technology loaded at this point. The only thing I have running in the background is Skype. So I'm going to bring up the run dialog by pressing Windows key plus R. And I'm going to type, I have my default browser set to Internet Explorer, which is important. You can use this kind of sort of with Firefox or any other browser that can play audio through Flash. But, The Internet Explorer is the best browser for this. So now I'm going to type in www.satogo.com, press enter, and let's hear what happens.
Welcome to System Access to Go. Please press enter to begin.
And you should have just heard Deck Talk say, welcome to System Access to Go. Did you guys hear that?
Yep, it sounded just fine.
Okay, so I'll press enter to begin.
Please press Alt plus R to continue.
And what we have now is Internet Explorer's
standard run, save, or cancel dialog for downloading a file from the internet. And what we're about to do is run system access in a package that is system access to go right from this web page. So I'm going to press Alt-R.
Please press Alt plus R again to continue.
And now we've got the dialog up saying what we're about to run and who the software publisher is. So if you want to be sure that you're running the right thing, you can have a sighted person check that for you. But since System Access to Go prompted us to press Alt-R again, we will.
If this is your first time using System Access to Go, please listen to this entire message before typing. If you are already a Saratech customer or if you have a trial account, please type your account number and press Enter. Enter register for a free trial, type trial and press Enter. For a 10-minute demonstration, type demo and press Enter. Enter.
So, hear me? Because I cannot hear you. And thus ends our Skype conference.
We can hear you just fine.
Okay. That's interesting, because I just lost Mike.
Okay, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, and I can hear you now. I'll bring Mike back when it's time.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do now is type my account number really fast and press Enter.
Please type your PIN and press Enter.
Now I'll type my PIN for our online service and press Enter.
You're logged on. Loading system access. Please wait. System access to go is ready.
And now we have system access to go running. And if we just minimize to the desktop.
Desktop. List. Skype. 914.
Or bring up the start menu.
Start menu. Windows update. W. Menu closed.
And so on. You can see that we have access to Windows. Or if I bring up
desktop,
Skype.
List. Skype. Skype trademark Mac compeller. Jeff Bridges tab.
And go to my contact list tab.
Contacts tab. Contact list.
And now I can down arrow through my contacts.
Jeff Bishop. Online. 1520-889-
and so forth. And you can see that we have quite good access to Skype. So now I'm going to invite Mike back because there's something else that we would like to show briefly before Mike talks about the implications of all this.
Johnny, Larry, Mike. Menu opened. Start call. Start chat. Send was invite to conference. Menu closed.
And remember that I started all this just by going to a web page and following the prompts.
So really...
Mike, are you back?
So this is really... You're giving everyone access to the regular system access product, but
hey,
basically...
Jeff, can you still hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Jeff?
Yes?
Okay. We have a bit of a problem here. I'm going to, I think though that you can still hear me, but I can't hear you. So now I'm going to shut down System Access to Go by pressing Insert F4.
Shutting down System Access.
Note that you could also have used Caps Lock F4. And I'm going to call you back, Jeff.
Okay, so while we're waiting for Matt to do that, we meant to actually have Woody Anna Dresner on tonight, and unfortunately, we have not seen her on Skype until just recently on my side, but Daryl has not been able to see her, and we'll get with her and try to get her on.
Okay, Jeff.
But I would say it's a Skype issue.
Yeah, it more than likely is. So we're going to try to... Yes, Matt?
Okay, how much of my... Did you hear me shut down system access?
Yep. Yes, we sure did.
Okay, so we'll have to forego the other part of the demo that I wanted to do with Mike, but we'll at least discuss what we were about to do, or what we are going to do, since it appears that my setup for doing a live demo is not working as reliably as we hoped. But I'm going to invite Mike back, and we'll finish the conference.
Okay.
Now that I've done at least, hopefully, a sufficient demo of SA to go.
Yep, that's great.
Mike, are you back?
I'm getting a...
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can hear you fine, okay. Mike.
Well, everybody, what you've heard there is basically the world's...
Besides my Skype freaking out. Yeah.
What you've heard is the world's first web-based accessibility solution. And this really brings us to the point of having folks understand why we have, continue, and always will not call System Access a screen reader. Try and do that with your conventional screen reader. You can't. System Access to Go provides you access back to your home computer through remote access. It gives you access to our network of services, of web services, including email and instant messaging and all kinds of other cool things that folks are used to hearing from Serotech. So
it
really
also gives you remote training and support, which is what I was going to try to demo with Mike.
So in essence, a person can walk into a library that they've never been to before, bring up a computer, type in a URL, load System Access to Go. A trainer can connect to them and start training them on software that's located at the trainer's location. This is amazing. But the most amazing part, really, Jeff, is that we are going to put this out for public beta today. Okay, and it is absolutely free of charge to the entire worldwide community of the blind. And the reason for that, there's no big secret, is we want to have people use it. We want people to tell us what they think, how they like it. And unlike, I think, any other company has ever done, we really want to figure out how to monetize this. We want to make it affordable for everyone. We think that putting the technology on the cloud, if you will, or making it a Web 2.0 application or a server-based application, whatever you want to call it, kind of changes the entire paradigm. I was reading a paper earlier today that explained how, you know, technology that's done on the server this way really, and those of you that use our technology know, we fix bugs at Serotech within hours. Simply because of the way that we've always integrated the web into our products. And that is extremely important going forward. When people want to remain productive, people want to remain competitive, they want to remain on the goal. And most of all, you know, we have developing countries coming onto the world stage that their economics may not be the same as here in the U.S. So we really need to be able to embrace those other world cultures and help them by providing them the technology. I mean, Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And why should we require developing countries and other folks that are getting involved to go through the same trials and tribulations? And admittedly, they were necessary at the time that we went through as blind people to get technologically savvy. The days of having to be a computer geek to use a computer and adaptive technology are over. I mean, it just isn't necessary anymore. Would either one of any of you guys disagree with that?
No, I would agree with that. Mike, yeah. So when people sign up for this, and we'll give the information just a couple of minutes, will they have complete access to the Serotech, you know, network, or how is that going to work? Or
they will have access for 30 days to our web services, and that's basically our System Access mobile network.
Okay.
And they will have access to that for 30 days, but they will have an unlimited trial of the System Access to Go.
Okay.
And that will probably last for quite some time. So
okay, good.
And we do expect, by the way, once we go forward with that, we're looking at some sort of a monthly or annual subscription to that.
Okay.
So that the idea being, hey, you know, if you have a conventional screen reader and you like that, I mean, we don't want to take business from conventional screen readers. There's enough of a market out there. 90% of blind people don't use a screen reader, believe it or not. So there's plenty of blind folks to go around here.
Absolutely.
The thing is that if you have the need for this technology, We want to make it to where it's not, oh, I got to have this, or, oh, I got to have that, and I can't afford that. We want everybody to be able to afford the technology, because really, folks, I'm a blind person first, and a CEO of this company second. And as a blind person, this has changed my life. This technology, starting with Ted Henter and innovators of that ilk from back in the day, and Doug Joffrey, coming all the way up to now, where their companies and the legacy that they've left are still innovating, and we're proud to be numbered amongst the companies that are providing technology to our community. And we don't want to price ourselves out of just the average guy's pocket. We don't want people to only work with us from 9 to 5 where their jobs can afford it. We want people to use this as part of their digital work style and part of their digital lifestyle.
Okay. Not just 9 to 5, but 5 to 9.
That's right.
5 to midnight is the case, maybe.
Yeah, okay. All right, we have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live.
Yes.
How can we help you?
I have a question for a guest. My question will be, the Freedom Scientific suit, without a doubt, came surprisingly to the company. How has that contributed in any way, shape, or form to the need for Serotek to have to change its product branding?
Okay. We'll let you listen on the air, all right?
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
The only mention I really will make about the lawsuit is that, I mean, everybody disagrees at one time or another. And really, Freedom Scientific felt the need to protect their intellectual property. And frankly, none of us, them or us, felt like fighting about it. Why is that? You know, if they felt that it was inappropriate for us, we admitted that we may have inadvertently done that, and we've moved on. We have a business to run. They have a business to run. As many, many people stated on the internet, which we thank you for your support. Basically, you know, we have better things to do with the funds that we have, and better to remain friends and not fight. So as far as what it did to us, absolutely nothing. We're still the same company we were. Freedom is still the company they were, and we're all just working to provide people with better lives and technology.
Okay, well, great, Mike. I appreciate you answering that. And
sure.
Well, how can we actually get people to gain access to this great new product?
Well, all you got to do is go to www.satogo.com. That's www.sa2go.com, and just follow the prompts. It really will just walk you through. And if you just walk up and you want to show somebody, hey man, look at this, this is so cool, you can just go in there, follow the prompts, type in the word demo, and you'll get it for 10 minutes. If you want to sign up for our trial, whether it be for our System Access Mobile Network trial along with the System Access to Go trial, you can just type in the word trial, and it will walk you through an accessible form. And really what we're doing here, Jeff, is we're showing people that a website can contain its own accessibility component. Imagine going up to Amazon or to Microsoft or to one of these websites and them having a link on the front or a hotkey that you can just hit right from the home page that will automatically load accessibility for that web page. You know, I mean, it's incredible when you start thinking about the dynamics here. And once, I mean, this is just in its early stages. Once we start embracing more Web 2.0 and even Web 3.0 technologies, which I think Web 3.0 is going to be all about mobility and mobile and access on mobile devices such as phones and PDAs and devices that maybe we haven't even seen yet. I mean, I can see this technology working with an Xbox. I can see this technology working with various platforms. And we fully intend to give people that ubiquitous accessibility anywhere that we have always promised to give.
All right. Daryl, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
And we have officially closed the lines, everybody, so we're not going to be taking any more calls. Daryl, you had a question from the MSN side of the house.
Okay, well, one good question that we got is, is SA2Go going to work? Is it going to have Braille support in the near future?
SA2Go is going to exactly 100% mirror system access. Everything that you will get in system access, you will get in SA2Go. The web is simply another delivery method. Now you can take system access on a U3 Key to Freedom. You can take it on a little CD you put in your pocket. You can load it onto two desktops, or you can just run it right from the web. Any of those you want to do, you can do. So there is absolutely no limitation of what you're going to get with SA2Go than you're going to get with our regular system access product.
That said, Some Braille displays do require a driver, especially those that interface with the machine via USB or Bluetooth, do require a driver to be installed on the host machine, and we've not yet, at least, found anything we can do about that. So
right,
your
but
mileage
if you want,
may vary for specific displays.
Right, but for all intents and purposes, feature for feature, you will have equal access with all of the system access accessibility methods, if you will. You know, all the different installation methods, delivery methods.
Okay. While we have you here, where are you guys headed with system access? I mean, we obviously know that the To-Go product is now out and available. And so I suppose your next step is just to continue to innovate with new features with system access.
Well, system access, we will be showing Braille support at the conferences this year. We will be both at NFB and at ACB this year. Later this year, as Matt alluded to earlier while talking to Jamal, we will be introducing Scripture, that is our scripting support for our system access product. And I won't call it our scripting language, because as we get closer, you'll find more and more detail about that. We will be supporting various scripting languages that are already out there, some of them that Jamal also alluded to. And our friends at Microsoft, believe me, Jamal, when I tell you that Microsoft is totally dedicated to supporting us as a Microsoft development partner, as we've stated, and both Freedom and GW have also stated, Microsoft works very diligently with us. Unfortunately, though, we're not the only the only fish they have to fry.
Right.
So
fish in the pond.
It's that Microsoft is dedicated. Their new manifesto now for accessibility, where accessibility all over the company, what happened?
We're losing you. Skype is being its ill-behaved self tonight.
It's been bad tonight. Well, wow.
Oh, well. But Microsoft is definitely dedicated. We'll be doing that. And last, I mean, not least, we support here as well. So those basically the surprise or two along the way. You never know.
Matt, we missed the, maybe your connection is going to be a little bit better. Can you repeat what he said in reference to the last piece there?
The last thing that's coming up this year is Java support.
Oh, Java support.
That is going to be so cool. Okay. I'm waiting.
Well, that's good, because that's really important, especially for a lot of educational and government institutions that are using
and job-related stuff.
Yeah, and job-related stuff, too. Absolutely. So, well, Matt and Mike, we really do want to thank you very, very much for coming on, and we apologize profusely for all of the technical glitches of which we've been having tonight. And Skype has not been our friend.
Hey, www.sa2go.com.
Okay.
And by the way, we are having a special, by the way, I forgot to almost mention, it's our summer special, where if you buy System Access Mobile, not only do you get a subscription to SA2Go even after the trial, but you also get a year of System Access Mobile Network, and you will get a year of access to that as well, $129 value. So
okay.
Call us up, 866-202-0520, or visit serotech.com or www.sa2go.com.
Okay, Mike. Well, again, thank you very, very much. And Matt, thank you for your participation both in the first hour and in the second hour. And we'll be definitely in touch with you guys later in the year as
things continue to come out, we'll bring you back and talk to you all about the technologies that are out there. So again, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for coming on.
All right, good night, you guys. And next,
Mike already left, but good night.
Okay, good night, Matt.
Good night,
and next week we'll be back with another live version of Main Menu. And then we'll be taking a little bit of a break. In the first week in July, of course, will be convention coverage. And then we'll be doing some replays of some of the best of Main Menu and Main Menu Live and through the month of July. And we'll be back in August in earnest and all new shows and all that kind of fun stuff. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to be actually heading out to... We actually may be dipping into August a little bit because I believe we're actually going to be heading out to SeaWorld and around the end of July, beginning of August. So we'll keep all of you updated. Make sure you're on the announce and friends lists as well as the Main Menu friends list, and we'll be happy to give you all those details. Do you have any comments, Daryl, before we wrap stuff up?
I think we're all set, and apologies to everyone for all the technical issues this evening, but it's pretty much unavoidable, I believe.
Yes,
so,
completely beyond our technical control, and we did the best we could with what was passed to us tonight.
But thanks for listening through it, everyone.
Absolutely, and again, we do apologize for that. We will be really trying hard to get Woody Anna Dresner on next week.
Absolutely.
And actually, I won't
be here.
And you will not be here, right. Okay.
No.
And so it will be me and her talking all about Google. Hopefully we'll be able to get her. And
Sorry, Anna.
Yes, it's really rather unfortunate. We'll try to get her on, get to talk to her in just a minute. She's in Hawaii, so one of the advantages, of course, is that she's about 3 hours behind me, so it's not too late for her. I'll try to still get a hold of her tonight. But we'll be back next week, everybody, with one final show until we bid you a farewell for a few weeks for our summer vacation. So good night, Daryl. Thanks for being here.
Good night.
All right. We'll talk to you later. And good night, everybody. We'll see you all next week on ACB Radio's Main Menu and Main Menu Live. Good night, everybody.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.